My name's John, Reverend John Angle. I'm a retired Anglican priest and live just south of Bristol, near Yatton. And I've been travelling out to the Middle East since 1964, when I was a student, and as a student travelled overland all the way to the Holy Land, as one does as a student, and visited Gaza in 1964. That's how old I am as a student. And I've been visiting the Holy Land ever since. And about 40 years ago, from as a result of meeting with friends in Palestine mainly and also in Israel, I set up a trust in England with the charity commissioners. It's called the Hope Christian Trust. And we support mainly Christian communities. We obviously support Muslim folk as well in different ways, but support Christian communities in mainly in the West Bank, that is in the Bethlehem area, in the northern part of the West Bank, and also in Gaza. And as I say, I've been traveling out there regularly since then, since 1964. And more recent years, over the last 20 years or so, I suppose, visiting the land maybe two, three times a year, sometimes four times a year, and also going into Gaza because we got involved in supporting a Christian school in Gaza. It's called the Lighthouse School, Al-Manara School in Arabic. And for the last 20 years since that school was founded, we have been in England as a trust and as individuals supporting that school. Prior to being ordained as a priest, I was a teacher, a deputy headmaster in a school in Bristol in the Lockleaze area, and travelled out regularly to the land, as I said. And I then later on became an Ofsted inspector, worked as an Ofsted inspector. So obviously, as far as education is concerned, I've got something to offer in terms of teaching and learning and management, as far as this school is concerned. It's a school of 280 children, all primary school age children, and they are all Muslim children. But the school is a Christian foundation, a little bit like church schools in this country. Half the teachers are Christian, the other half are Muslims, and they work together. We work together, developing what is essentially a good Christian ethos in the school. And the school is the sort of quality which is fairly unique as far as Gaza is concerned. The United Nations schools there are, they're not good, to be honest. Very large classes, discipline that is somewhat Victorian, if I could put it like that. And, we have been working with that school for over the last 20 years and visiting, as I say, on a very regular basis, with the permission, obviously, of the Israeli Defense Force allowing us to go in, and also from the Palestinian Authority. The changes that I've seen as far as the school is concerned is a real development in the school to what I would call a very good quality of education, and also a very good quality of care for the students through the teachers of the school. The school and a very good quality of standard of education in the school. They get awards from the Palestinian Authority. The children get awards. They, pass. They're entered for examinations in a variety of different subjects, and they score very highly in the examination system that pertains within the Palestinian education system, so that when they leave the school, and go on to higher education or secondary education, similar way to this country, the standard is very high. You could say that they get to 11 plus standard in the in old money, that is, and moving on into into new school, and their standard of English, learning English, is very, very high. It's one of the important things that we teach in the school, as well as obviously all the other subjects. Up until Hamas took over, what was that, in 2005, it was very easy to, you know, to walk into Gaza. You did have to go through a checkpoint, but you just went through the checkpoint and they checked you just as they would it. Anybody would check you at Heathrow.
Okay, airport. So what would you do? You fly into Israel, would you?
Oh, yeah, you fly to Tel Aviv. There's no... there was an airport in South Gaza that was built, but that was put out of action by the Israelis soon after Hamas took over. Now you fly to Tel Aviv, and then it's you know, an hour train journey down to the border, and you go through the border. Up until 2005, it was relatively easy to get in. In fact, you could drive in. And in the early days, back in the 80s, 90s, if you were staying in Bethlehem or in Tel Aviv, you would just drive down after lunch. You go to Gaza and visit some friends, go and have a meal in a restaurant overlooking the Mediterranean Sea, very beautiful. Drive back in the evening, and it was no problem at all. But once Hamas took over in 2005, Israel began to make restrictions on entry, and also the Palestinians on the other side, on the Gaza side, started to have a checkpoint. In fact, you go through an Israeli checkpoint where you have to get permission to go through that. And you go then through a Palestinian checkpoint to get into Israel. And you've got to have permission from both sides in order to get it to get in. But I've had no particular problems over the years in getting in and working and making lots and lots of friends in Gaza. And most of those friends are still there in this war that's going on there, and I'm in touch with them, and I just feel so sad. I feel bad. I feel hurt. I feel emotionally involved with them, and wanting the war to finish, and I want them to get all the aid and the food that they need, which of course is in very short supply at the moment.
It certainly is. Now, looking at the pictures of Gaza City, I have to ask you, is the school still there or has it been flattened?
No, the school is still there. It's right next door to Ashley Hospital, which is run by the Diocese of Jerusalem, by the Anglican Church. It's just the wall between the two, actually. And the school was hit with artillery fire, and a hole was put in the wall on two sides of a classroom. Most of the windows have been blown in, and therefore that, of course, has caused damage inside, but that's a question of tidying up as opposed to repairs. Windows will need to be repairs. There's shrapnel damage on the walls and the solar panels on the roof, which have been very helpful for electricity for the school. Those have been damaged. But the school is standing. The playground had cars parked in them. Some of the Christians in a church next door had parked their cars in the grounds of the playground. And when the school was hit with artillery fire, those cars were torched and burnt out. So the school is standing. I've talked to the principal of the school, who has been into the school, and the school is repairable. Let's put it that way. Okay. As far as the building is concerned.
So when did you last visit? What situation was it when you managed to get there last?
The last time I visited was in May last year, and my wife and I had planned to visit again in the middle of October last year. But of course, the war happened on October the 7th. We were due to fly 11 days later, which of course we had to cancel. I have been out to Israel. I was out in Israel last month. I spent 8 days out there in the West Bank with friends. Obviously, I couldn't get into Gaza. Nobody's allowed in except some people with humanitarian aid, although Israel isn't allowing those in at the moment. But I did talk, obviously, on the phone to some of my friends in Gaza. I mean, I could talk to them from here, from England, if I want to. When Wi-Fi is usable, when there's electricity available, which it often isn't because Israeli attacks have blown out those facilities. But yes, I mean, the last time I visited the land was last month. The last time I was actually in Gaza was in May before that. I've been traveling out there, as I say, for years. I've been traveling through all the intifadas and demonstrations out there. My feeling this time was one of sadness. The people are hurting in the West Bank, not only because of the way in which Israel is treating the people in the West Bank. I met friends who've lost their jobs in Israel. You know, immediately after October the 7th, Israel said, "You can't stay in the West Bank. You've lost your job. Get back to the West Bank." The Palestinian people who are employed by the Palestinian Authority have reduced wages because Israel is not paying the taxes to the Palestinian Authority. There's an increase in poverty. And in a place like Bethlehem, and also in Jerusalem to a large extent, both places relying on the tourist industry, the people just haven't got their jobs because there are no tourists. And I pass hotels in Bethlehem that are usually full of visitors. I mean, I walked through the streets of Bethlehem, walked through the streets of Jerusalem, didn't see a group of people at all, a group of tourists at all. Just walked into some of the places, some of the popular tourist places, the tourist sites like the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Just walked straight in, no hordes of people or anything. And those people are, they've been living on 5 or 6 months of their savings, and they are getting pretty desperate. And add to that the frequent excursions or incursions, I should say, by the Israeli army into homes, into the refugee camps in the West Bank, and the presence of the Israelis around all the time. I mean, I was staying in Bethlehem, refugee camp in Bethlehem, just down the road, an invasion by the Israeli authorities. Obviously, they're looking for terrorists. They're looking for people that perhaps are sympathetic to Hamas and sympathetic to other terrorist organizations and seeking to do away with them. But that's causing a great feelings of fear. People are unsettled and travel is difficult because of roadblocks and checkpoints. And there's always the fear as far as the Arabs are concerned, the Palestinians are concerned, of settler attacks and settlers throwing stones on the cars as the Palestinians travel with their green number plates, which of course are obvious, which they've got to have in their travels. And add to that the sense and the feeling that the Palestinians in the West Bank have, that these are my brothers and sisters in Gaza that are suffering, and many of them have friends in Gaza, many of them have family in Gaza. And it's a bit like, I guess, you know, somebody in Bristol, having to be aware of what's of their family and their friends and living in Exeter. You know, it's that close. And their feelings of sadness, their feelings they can't do anything, their feelings that this is all just unfair, it's unjust, it's evil, it's wrong. When will this stop? And some of the people that I met were beginning to say, look, I'm not staying in the West Bank anymore. I'm going to stay with family in America. I'm going to live with family in America. I'm going to leave. And these are people that I've known for years and who love living in Palestine. And they've just had enough.
Well, you can't really blame them, I suppose.
No, you can't.
Look, what about the people we haven't really talked about so far, which are these 200 children? I wonder how are they getting on?
Sure. We know very, very little about them. We know of, I've heard of a couple of children that have been killed, and a couple of parents that have been killed, but I know, and the teachers of the school know no more than that, because the area around the school, which is where the children come from, where the families live, the catchment area, if you like, of the school, it has been severely devastated. It's the area of Zatoun. It's been mentioned on the television, and it's been severely damaged, and people, unless there is, I mean, even the possibility of telephone conversations are remote because of the breakdown in the telephone systems and in Wi-Fi, and there has been very little contact with the children. And
are there no lessons to be taking place during the war at all then?
Absolutely none. And that's the case in all the schools. There are two or three other Christian schools connected with the Orthodox Church and the Roman Catholic Church in Gaza, in addition to this school, Al-Manara, which is an independent Christian school. And you see, in all the United Nations schools, if you like, you say the state schools in Gaza that are run by the United Nations and the Palestinian Authority, they are full of people. Every classroom has a family, at least one family living in it. So there is no education going on. The universities have been destroyed. The buildings have been destroyed. And, you know, apart from that destruction, people are very hesitant to even move out of where they are sheltering. I mean, my friends are sheltering in the Roman Catholic Church, about 400 of them, 400 people there, about 400 people in the Greek Orthodox Church, in the compound, as it were, of those two churches. That is the sum total of the Christians that are in Gaza, about 800 or 900. I know of three teachers that managed very early, three Muslim teachers, to get out of Gaza through Rafah, and two have gone to Jordan. Two have gone to Egypt, and one has gone to Jordan. We have been able, as a school management, to continue to pay the teachers by paying into their bank accounts, and from their bank accounts they can use their plastic cards, obviously, to pay for goods. They can't get cash out of the banks because many of the banks have been destroyed, or at least they're closed, or the bank vaults, as it were, haven't got any more money because it's all been emptied out. But they are able to pay for things by Visa cards through their bank, the banking system. That is still operative. That is still operative.
It's now Easter time. This is Passover or Ramadan. Some people have talked about the Israelis visiting hell in the Holy Land. What do you make of it all?
Well, for the people living in Gaza, it is hell on earth. Yeah, I mean, I accept that as a way of defining the situation. It's it's hell. It's diabolical. What is going on? But one of the things that I get things on message and on Facebook as well as emails and so on. One of the things that amazes me, well, it shouldn't amaze me, but it does. It's incredible. Certainly many of the Christians that I'm in touch with and many of the Muslims, they write prayers. I could sort of read out prayers to you that they have sent, you know, expressing, oh God, you know, God help us. We trust in you. We believe in you. We follow you. We trust you. And then praying to God, you know, as it were, accepting the situation and asking God for help and continue to trust God. They're not turning away from God. They're not saying, oh God, you've caused all this. They're not saying that at all. They're saying, you know, we're in a mess and it's a mess of other people's making. And, you know, God, please help us in this and strengthen us. I saw a brief video from a little girl that I know, the daughter of the principal of the school. And I was sent a very brief 20-minute video, a 20-second video. This little girl holding her palm cross, because last Sunday in the Western tradition, of course, it was Palm Sunday. And she's holding this palm in her hand. And she's saying, you know, this weekend we are remembering Jesus coming into Jerusalem as the king on the donkey. And we pray to Jesus that Jesus will bring us, like he brought hope and peace into Jerusalem, when he came into Jerusalem all those years ago. We are praying for hope and we are praying for peace now. And this is a little eight-year-old girl speaking in very good English in a short video that I received this morning.
Yeah, I wonder if some people are, I mean, the Bible talks of a second coming, are hoping Jesus is going to hurry up.
Well, I guess there are some people that would feel that. I mean, I believe Jesus is coming again. I believe also that sense of an Armageddon. People are talking about Armageddon. People are talking about Jesus coming again. Both things, I believe, are part and parcel of my faith. It's part of the Apostles' Creed, which you say every Sunday. I believe that he will come again. I believe that to be true.
Well, it's easy to believe, maybe, but can you just explain, in a kind of sermon-like manner, maybe, if you wish, but to listeners, what that means? I mean, right now, it must be very difficult for anyone there to envisage some kind of triumphal return of Christ when they're being bombed to kingdom come.
Well, yeah. I mean, but for a Christian, in a sense, faith and belief is truth. So therefore, I believe, therefore, it is true. God loves me. Even though I'm in a horrible situation, he still loves me. He doesn't promise to take the nasty things away. But he does promise to be with me in those nasty situations. And the Christians in Gaza that I've been talking to, they believe that, they are experiencing that. And as a friend of mine, actually, a Lutheran priest in Bethlehem, said on a on a Christmas message that I remember hearing. He said, "Where is Jesus? Jesus is under the rubble in Gaza." And he had in his church a pile of rubble and baby Jesus in the manger in the middle of the pile of rubble. Now, that is what I believe. That is what the Christians in Gaza believe. God doesn't promise to take us out of the situation, but he does promise and experience and feelings and faith bring that truth to you. And it brings it to me when I'm in tough situations. It brings it to those people. They believe that Jesus is with them, that God is with them. And therefore, the presence of God helps them to cope with the horrors of the situation. And of course, they're praying to God that this will cease. Of course, they're praying that somehow they'll get out of this horrible situation. But they're praying it in God's presence, with God holding their hand. And that experience is truth, and it keeps them going even in this difficult situation.
Yeah, but hang on.
That is what Christian faith is all about.
Yeah, well, Napoleon, I think it was, said God favours the big battalions. This is, I don't think he was particularly a devout Christian, but you can see the point, can't you? Where are the big battalions for the Palestinians right now in Gaza?
Well, all I can say is the big battalions are the angels in heaven that come alongside the people that are in these difficult situations. To say that, as people do argue, oh, God's on our side in this war. He's not on the side of the other people in the war. I mean, there is the concept of a just war, of course, and this war is not a just war. That Israel is fighting fighting against the Palestinian people, not against Hamas. Well, in addition to fighting against Hamas, let's put it that way.
Yeah, well, the charity is called the Lighthouse School.
The charity is the Hope Christian Trust.
Oh, okay.
That's the registered charity.
Righto. So if people are interested in supporting your work, despite the fact that the school isn't actually able to operate right now, following you, whereabouts online or elsewhere can people find you?
You're going hopechristiantrust.org, and we have not a particularly brilliant website there, but there is a website with information about the trust and about our activities, and of course it mentions the Lighthouse School and one or two other things that we're involved in. hopechristiantrust.org. I did start some time ago an emergency fund for Gaza, and I've got tens of thousands of pounds in that trust already in that particular emergency appeal. And one thing, as I said to you, we are continuing to pay the teachers so that they can buy food and they can get some sort of help in living, even in this difficult situation. So that's costing us, maybe $10,000 a month or more, which we're plowing into Gaza. I have managed to arrange through a contact who has a contact with a wholesale business in Gaza to buy some food, several days' food for the 400 community in the Roman Catholic Church. So we're trying hard, and we want to do more, but it's very difficult to do anything at the moment, unfortunately.
And what about you, John? Do you still preach at all? Where might people pick you up on a Sunday?
In one of the churches around Yatton, in St. Mary's Yatton, Kingston Seymour, which is where I am. on Sunday, on Easter Sunday, church in Ken, church in Claverham, church in Cleve. Those are the five churches that I help out in at the present time. I did start some time ago an emergency fund for Gaza, and I've got tens of thousands of pounds in that trust already in that particular emergency appeal. And one thing, as I said to you, we are seeking to do, we are continuing to pay the teachers so that they can buy food and they can get some sort of help in living, even in this difficult situation. So that's costing us, you know, maybe $10,000 a month or more, which we're plowing into Gaza. I have managed to arrange through a contact who has a contact with a wholesale business in Gaza to buy some food, you know, several days' food for the 400 community in the Roman Catholic Church. So we're trying hard, and you know, we want to do more, but it's very difficult to do anything at the moment, unfortunately.
Okay, Reverend John Angle, thanks very much for joining us.
Okay, well, it's good to talk to you.